All right, so we're continuing today with the Shemesh. So remember, again, we left off. We left off, actually, by number 13. So remember, again, we spoke about the idea that the Shemesh, although it is constant and consistent, nevertheless must learn the art of what? Adaptability and change. So this incredible dialectic, this incredible balance between, on one hand, the need to be constant and consistent, but also knowing how to adapt when circumstances demand that. So to show you just another interesting idea about the Shemesh, take a look at number 13. So the Gemara Maseches Gittin says something quite interesting. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ha Ne'alavan Ve'inan Ulvin, which literally means, Ne'alavan Ve'inan, you know what that means? Ne'alavan Ve'inan Ulvin? It's a little bit of a difficulty. So Ne'alavan means anyone who is like embarrassed, degraded, humiliated, ve'einon ulvin, but don't respond. See, a lot of times, like, reflexive reaction is that if someone upsets me, hurts me, harms me, says something negative about me, I'm going to respond back. So those who go ahead and hear themselves put down, but do not respond in kind, shomin cherpasan ve'ein mashiv, and they hear their degradation, but yet they don't say anything back in return. Oh, so I just want to, let's talk about this in just a moment. This, what is this idea? What is this mida of hearing your degradation not responding? Well, what mida is that? Or is it a mida? I'm sorry? Shtika. Shtika, good. But shtika means I'm being silent. What is it that I'm, meaning, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish by this? I'm sorry? Anava. So it could be an element of humility. Excellent. What else? Gvura. So I would tend to go with gvura also. See, this is very important. It doesn't mean that if someone mistreats you, you should just take it. Right? That's not a healthy thing. If someone mistreats you, you should do whatever you can to extricate yourself from those circumstances. So what does this mean? Someone puts me down, and I love it. Someone disparages me, and I don't respond. Or someone degrades me, and I don't respond. What that means is, not that I'm going to go ahead and remain in this circumstance, I'm going to do whatever I can to extricate myself from this negative circumstance, because that's always best. Never leave yourself in toxic circumstances. What it means is, I have the gvura, I have the strength not to respond. Just because you said something, and just because you did something, does not mean that I have to respond in kind. And this is just an incredibly important midah, I think, especially in the age of social media. It's incredibly important as well, because it appears, I'm not a very big social media person, but it appears from my limited exposure to social media, that very often what ends up happening is people say something and there's like an immediate need for everyone and their uncle to respond. As opposed to saying, just because someone said something doesn't mean it requires a response or elicits a response in any way. Sometimes, even if someone says something hurtful or something wrong, there are times where you do have to respond, right? If someone spreads misinformation, sometimes you do have to respond in order to be able to correct the record. But at the end of the day, so many times in life when people get into these, you know, verbal duels and verbal exchanges, the high road to take is, if you want to speak that way or you want to say that, that's fine. I choose not to engage with you. I choose not to engage. There's no need for me to get into the verbal duel with you. I'm extricating myself from the negative circumstances. That's the Gemara saying over here. So someone hears themselves disparaged, but they don't disparage in return. They hear someone degrading them, but they do not respond. So now this is something different. Means what? They serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ava, which means what? Which means what? I'm sorry? Loves Hashem. Remember, we spoke about this. How do you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ava? It was on your test. I think you almost all of you got it right. V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. How do you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love? Mamish. It was short-term memory that you are. Yeah, but it's a pasuk in Torah. Remember, what does Rashi say? Asay dvar of mi'ava. I'm sorry? No, I don't hear you.
Is it like acting and not behaving?
Excellent. Correct. right? Go ahead and act in a certain way, act out of love. Sa'osin me'ava means, okay, obviously the highest level would be if a person actually loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what motivates a person to move. But even if a person doesn't feel it inside, but ultimately, again, their actions go ahead and give off a sense of Ava, smechin b'yisurin. This is a difficult one. What does smechin b'yisurin mean? They're happy with what? Their pain. They're happy with their afflictions. Anyone know anyone who's happy with their afflictions? No. This is a hard one. So what does smechin b'yisurin mean? How would you understand that idea? So good. Could be k'shem shem mevarchin al ra kach mevarchin al tova. That person appreciates that even the difficulties are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes?
I think that the people that are serving Hashem
beautiful. Beautiful could very well be that smechin b'yisurin only happens if you don't see it as yisurin. Excellent. You know, everything is a question of perspective. What one person might see as suffering, another person might see as, these are the circumstances that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen for me. So it could be that it's also very much a progression. Now, lavan v'ein aloven, shomin chapasem v'ein mashivin, osin me'ava, if you have all of these midos, you know how to have gvura, and therefore just because you say something nasty to me, I don't have to give it back to you. I could disengage and extricate myself from these circumstances. I could serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ava, both behaviorally, and that engenders a feeling internally. If I have all of that, then maybe it's smechin b'yisurin. Maybe I could come to that level where I'm quote unquote happy with my suffering simply because I don't see it as suffering anymore. I see it just simply as the Yad Hashem. This is the Ratzon Habori, and therefore by definition I accept it. Okay, about all of these people, what's the point of this Gemara? Aleya Rakasa Omer, about all of these people, it said, Va'ohavav Kitseis Hashemesh Begvura. So about these people, it is said that they that love him, people who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are like the sun when it goes forth with all of its might. A pasuk in Shoftim, number 14, from Shiras Devora. Kitseis Hashemesh Begvuraso. So this is an incredible Gemara, because what the Gemara is saying is like this. Essentially, someone who exercises this Gvura, and that's really what this is. This is all different manifestations of internal strength. Internal strength to not get down in the mud when someone does something negative to me. Just because you're in the mud, I'm not getting down there with you. I'm going to extricate myself from these circumstances. That's Gvura. The ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'ava also requires Gvura. Why does that require Gvura? Why does serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'ava require Gvura? Because you have to push yourself. Because the truth is, if we're honest, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see, this is very important. A lot of times, when we're uninspired or just going through the motions, we feel bad about ourselves because we expect ourselves to be at like a level of inspiration and avoda me'ava. It's important to understand that is not the natural default of people. What's the natural default of people? The natural position of people, natural default is what? What's your natural state of being? I'm sorry? Come right, at rest. Remember again, people, anyone here learn signs? Maybe, right? Right, matter remains at rest until when? Excellent. Good. Oh, so you don't remember a Rashi, but you remember the signs, okay? Right, matter remains at rest until it is acted upon. That's the way it works, right? So this is going to remain at rest because it's matter until I actively move it. I'm no different than the shtendel. At the end of the day, my natural default in life, I'm going to stay still. I'm going to stay rest. I rest. I'm going to stay comfortable. Most of us only move when we are acted upon. Now, of course, the goal in life is to figure out a way to move yourself even if you're not acted upon. Right? The goal in life is to make changes in your life, because a lot of times when most people make changes, when do they make changes?
When they have something.
I'm sorry?
When something happens.
When they have to. Right, I make a change when I have to make a change. Something has occurred. I can no longer continue to live the way that I'm living. So now I must change. That's not the optimal change model. The optimal change model is I make change because I want to make change. I make change because I want to be better. I grow because I recognize that that's how I recognize I can actualize my potential. So all of these situations over here in the Gemara are talking about people who choose to affect change. They don't wait to be acted upon, but they act. I hear someone disparaging me. Interestingly enough, in this case, the most reflexive reaction is, somebody's dishing it out to me, I'm going to give it right back to them. Instead, what do? I move myself, either literally move myself out of this interaction, move myself to a different state of being. Osin me'ava. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ava means I'm pushing myself to do more. I could check the boxes. I could do what's required of me with relatively little effort, but that's not enough. I want to do more. I want to be more. So I push myself even more than I have to. Osin me'ava. Smechin bi yisurin. So remember again, this is very important. What does simcha mean? What does simcha really mean? All right, what do you think simcha means? I'm sorry, internal happiness. Good. So we often translate simcha as happiness, as joy. You know, the difficulty with that, you know, the famous statement of Rabbi Nachman, of mitzvah gedola lihios besimcha tamid. Right, the great mitzvah to always be besimcha. So why is that an impossible statement? So very simple. First of all, on an emotional level, no one's always happy. That's number one. But also, again, even from like a halachic level, that's not true. There are times we're not supposed to be besimcha, right? Tisha B'Av, there's an Issa, right? Like the Mishnah says, Mishenichnasav Mema'atin besimcha. That's Chodesh Av. But on Tisha B'Av itself, it's a throes of Avelos. There's no simcha on Tisha B'Av. There are other times where, again, a person loses a loved one, a person suffers something traumatic. So how could Rabbi Nachman say, Mitzvah Gedol Lios besimcha? So in Rabbi Nachman's worldview, simcha, and by the way, I'll tell you something interesting. I don't know if you know anything about the life of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman had a very difficult life. He died at the age of 39. He lost two children in infancy. He had a very, very, very difficult life. And he writes in his writings about how there were times that he struggled with darkness. Darkness almost sounds like a depression, like darkness, just a heaviness around him. But yet he's the same man who wrote, Mitzvah Gedola Lios Besimcha Tamid. Because simcha doesn't mean joy. Or I should say, simcha can mean joy, but it's a joy that stems from an internal fulfillment. We know in life, when are you happiest? Let's be honest. When are you happiest? I mean, you're young, so maybe you don't appreciate this. When do you feel happiest? When the happiest moment in your life so far has been when? So the truth is, this might not apply to young women like you, but you'll see as you get older, your happiest moments are not when you're on vacation. Right, it's not when you're freed from responsibility. Your happiest moments in life are the moments when you feel the greatest level of accomplishment. Those are the moments where you feel true joy. There are other times when you might feel happy. There are other times when you might feel joy. There are other times when you might feel wonderful feelings. But true simcha, that's something you might be too young still to fully appreciate this. But as you go through life, those moments of incredible accomplishment are the moments that spark true simcha. That's you. So smechem bi yisurin. How could a person be smechem bi yisurin? When a person is able to feel, this is going to sound strange, fulfillment in their suffering. How do you find fulfillment in suffering? So it could be you overcome it. That's number one. What's the problem with that explanation? What if you can't? You can't always overcome suffering. Some suffering is just what it is. So how do you... So again, if you can overcome it, incredible. What if you can't overcome it? How do you find simcha in suffering?
You use it to help yourself grow
and others. Excellent. You use it as a springboard for growth. You use it as a springboard for growth. That suffering offers opportunity. Suffering sometimes is the foundation for incredible and profound self-actualization. The moment that you're suffering, yes, it's difficult, it's overwhelming, but the moment that it becomes a catalyst, and a springboard, and a foundation for your personal growth, and maybe for your ability to inspire others, is the moment that you find simcha even in your yisurin. So the Gemara says a person, and all of this is gvura, right? All this requires an incredible sense of inner strength. To not engage when people are trying to bring me down. Because remember, that's what the first part of the Gemara is. Someone's trying to bring me down, I'm not going down. I'm staying up here. I'm disengaging. To be able to be the kind of person who doesn't just do what you have to do to fulfill your obligations, but goes above and beyond. And the person who's able to utilize suffering and life adversity as a catalyst for growth. How does the Gemara describe these people? These people, the O'avav, these are the lovers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are people who truly love Hashem. Kitzeis HaShemesh Bigvuroso. They are as luminescent. They burn as bright as the sun comes out in its full glory. So it's incredible that those who demonstrate life strength are considered to be like the sun. If you take a look at the Rabag in number 15, so the Rabag writes, this. So remember again, this is all from Shiras Devora. So the Rabag writes number 15, V'hispalo l'dvar v'amra ken yovdu kol oyvei Hashem, kimo sh'avad sisra v'o'avei Hashem yis'ale, yiyu kitzeis Hashem ish'bigvuraso, sh'oro holeich u'mischazek ad nachon hayom. So the Rabag says that, remember again, Devora is contrasting the righteous and the wicked. So the wicked should perish, and the righteous should continue to shine just like the sun. Just like the sun is shining from the morning until the evening, until it goes down, so too the righteous should continue to shine in their luminescence. But I'll show you something interesting. He goes on. But yet the Rabbag makes an interesting observation. Does the sun always shine bright? No. Even the sun, right? Remember again, as much as we've been contrasting the sun and the moon, right? And the sun, out of the two luminaries, what does the sun possess that the moon does not? Consistency. But is the sun fully consistent? No. In other words, remember, like the Rabag, points out, during the summertime, the intensity of the sun is one way. During the wintertime, the intensity of the sun is a different way. The intensity of the sun varies on the season, right? The intensity of the sun varies ultimately, again, even based on the solstice. The intensity of the sun, you can have a day where the sun is there, but it's blocked by the clouds. And what happens? The sun can be burning beautifully bright. Yet what? Yet what? No one's going to see it because the clouds are obstructing it. So on one hand, so what Rabag is teaching us is as follows. That at the end of the day, the righteous are like the sun. So what does it mean the righteous are like the sun? There are two lessons embedded in there. Number one, that the righteousness always shines through, right? At the end of the day, the sun always comes up, right? The sun, right? The sun always comes up the following day. No matter what happens, righteousness will always endure, right? Righteousness always endures. The tzaddikim, although they may be, they may suffer and they may be trampled under the heels of others, as they say, the sun will come up tomorrow, right? At the end of the day, bless you, at the end of the day, the sun will always come up, the sun will always rise, the tzaddikim will always continue. But there's a very important idea, which is the sun, although it's always there, doesn't always burn bright. So it's a lesson to the righteousness as well, that sometimes to find your spiritual luminescence takes time. It takes time. And don't always expect to burn bright. Don't always expect to be luminescent. This is incredibly important because we live this with kind of like this inherent contradiction, which we're going to build on a little bit. That on one hand, what do we strive for most in our Yiddishkeit? What do we strive for? In our relationship with Hashem, what do we strive for? In all of our relationships, what do we strive for most? Connection, good. What else? Simcha, beautiful. What else? One word, a word that we've used a lot in these discussions. Consistency. Right? Consistency is what we should, right? Isn't that, think about this for just a moment. It's not just with Hashem. It's in every life relationship. Right? Imagine, Shatom and Stachas, you all get married, and you come home to your husband, you say to your husband, here's the deal. I love you very much. I'm going to be a good wife on Sundays, Tuesdays, and alternate Fridays, right? The rest of the time is me time. I need to focus on me. I'm sorry, I'm not available, right? To be a good wife, what's going to happen to your marriage? Rahman al-Islam? Done. Why? Because relationships require consistency. You want a good marriage, it requires consistency. You want a good relationship with peers? Consistency. Parents? Consistency. Children? Consistency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, consistency. What is the one thing that I, as a person, cannot deliver? Take a wild guess. Consistency. Right? This is incredibly important. If there's one thing that I can't guarantee, it's consistency. Why can't I guarantee consistency? Because I don't control so many things in this world. I could control intentions. Right? My intentions are for consistency. I would like to be consistent, but can I be consistent? Again, I can only say that I want to be consistent, but often we can't control consistency because there's a whole bunch of other variables in life that occur, which is, I actually just mentioned this by my witch here downstairs. If you think about this, and it's going to sound like a little bit of a sobering idea, if there's one thing that you could absolutely count on in every single one of your relationships in life, it is what? Inconsistency. Or to say it a little bit differently, inevitably, whether you're in a relationship with people or even in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can always count on being let down. Now, I know that sounds like a terrible relationship mantra, but listen, hear this out. At some point in time, no matter how much you love a person, and whatever relationship this is, they're going to fail you. Not because they want to, but because they're human beings. So because they're human beings, at some point they're going to come up short. My perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited as well. I don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that at some point in time, I'm going to feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu failed me. I'm going to feel like He wasn't there for me in some way. I'm wrong, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there for me and always, I just don't understand God. But the way it works in relationships, and more specifically human relationships, are that the people you love the most will fail you. Not because they don't care about you, not because they want to fail you, but because they are human beings. They're human beings. And because they're human beings, the inconsistency is part of the fabric of who we are. That's the nature of human condition. So therefore, again, amazingly enough, what you begin to see is as follows. The righteous are compared to the sun. So we often assume that the sun is constant and consistent, right? The sun is always good. The sun is always perfect. The sun is always shining. The sun is always shining except when it's not, right? Because even the righteous have difficulty with consistency. You ever wonder why it is that the Torah Kedosha goes out of its way to tell us about the shortcomings of great people? You know, the Torah spends a significant amount of time on the story of Hagar and Sarah. It's not a pretty story, right? Hagar encourages Avram to marry Sarah, and then what happens? Then what happens? This story, you know? Good. Right, you know the story, right? It ends very badly. And by the way, who's the villain in the story of Sarah and Hagar? Who's the villain? It's Sarah. Right? It's Sarah. Remember again, I think did we do this Ramban together? Maybe it was a different class. Right? The Ramban says that ultimately, do you know why Yishmael to this very day hates the children of Avram and Yitzchak? Do you know why? Do you know why that hatred is there? And do you know why Yishmael has been able to hurt us so badly over the years? Because of Sarah's mistreatment of Hagar. It's the Ramban. The Ramban says that because Sarah Imenu mistreated Hagar to this very day, if you're following again, to this very day, Yishmael hates and hurts Klal Yisrael because of the mistreatment. So why do I have to know that story? Sarah Imenu is such a tzaddik, because she's so wonderful. Because Baruch Hu was trying to tell us that even great people make mistakes. You have to tell me the story of Moshe Rabbeinu and the rock. I need to know that story. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a selfless leader. He did everything fine. He made one mistake. Out of 120 years, he made one mistake. And that one mistake gets so much publicity. It gets so much airtime. Why? Why? Just skip it. You don't have to tell me. Don't even tell me. Just say Moshe Rabbeinu, for reasons undisclosed, couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So why does Torah Kedosha tell us this? One simple reason. Because even great people have difficulty with consistency. Because great people are still human beings. And human beings, by definition, are inconsistent. We strive for consistency, recognizing that we will be inconsistent. So the comparison to the sun is a fascinating one as well. Which is, again, the tzaddikim are like the sun, because at the end of the day, they will come up tomorrow. Right? Righteousness always endures. Evil does not. That is the way the world works. But the righteous are still like the sun. And just like, you know, the sun is always there, the light of the sun cannot always be seen. The light of the sun itself, it's not only the moon which is inconsistent, apparently the sun is consistent as well. Because even in the realm of righteousness, it's different to have consistent righteousness. We try to the best of our abilities, but here's the incredible part, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't judge me on consistency. He judges me on my desire to be consistent. And as long as my machshavas are correct, and I do whatever I have to, because machshavas, thoughts are not enough, you have to put in your ishtadlus also, but as long as I put in the requisite effort, and I do in fact try my best, then at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's consistency. Because none of us could truly deliver. One more piece along these same lines, take a look at number 16. There's a beautiful Gemara Maseches Nedarim. So the Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak, my dichsiv shemesh yareach amad zvula. So here the Gemara actually quotes our pasuk, right? The pasuk, I was going to say pasuk from Perek Shira, but it's the pasuk from Habakkuk, right? That the sun and the moon stood in their dwellings. So what does this mean? Shemesh yareach bizvul my bayin. So by the way, zvul also means something else. Zvul also refers to a level of the heavens that is like closer to the celestial sphere, like an upper level of the heavens by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Shemesh Yareach are more towards the lower heavens, right there in the Shamayim. So what does it mean that the sun and the moon are in the Zvul? What are they doing there? Watch this. V'habirakia kavi. They're in the Rakia, not in the Zvul. Malameid sha'alu Shemesh Yareach mirakia l'Zvul. So what happened? This is incredible. So apparently the sun and the moon decided to go on strike, the Gemara says. We'll see why. They ascended from the Rakia, which is a lower level, up to the Zvul. And they said, Amru Lufan, Ribono Shalom, Im Ata Osin Din Leben Amram, Anomirim, Ve'im Lav, Ein Anomir. So just to give you context, this occurs when? During the rebellion of Korach. The rebellion of Korach. Korach leads to rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the sun and the moon are very upset because they feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not properly safeguarding the covenant of Moshe Rabbeinu. They just feel that at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu is being attacked, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're doing nothing to help. So they threaten God. They say, here's the deal. We've withdrawn from the Rakia. We are in the Zvul. If you decide to help out Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll come back down. But if not, we're not coming out. We're not going to shine upon the earth. So what happens? Ba'os Hashah, Yara Bahen Chitzin Vechanisos. In that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shot arrows and spears at them. Right, this is, if you look back for just a moment at number one, you can see this is the pasuk. Shemesh Erech Amor Zvula. The Shemesh Erech stood in the upper levels in the Zvul. Lo'or Chitzacha Yahalechu. To the light of your arrows they go, to the brightness light. So what happens? So the sun and the moon are threatening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the threatening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you help Moshe Rabbeinu, fine, we'll shine. But if not, we're staying up here in the Zvul, not coming down to the Rakia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachal begins to shoot arrows and spears at them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what chutzpah you have. Amar Lahem, b'chol yom v'yom mishtachavim lachem v'atem irim. Every single day, the people of the world worship you. People worship, right? Sun worship, moon worship were some of the most ancient forms of polytheism. So every single day people worship you as a god. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, which is an affront to me. I created you. Yet they worship you, va'atem irim. And you don't threaten, you don't, right? And you're more than happy to shine. Right, sun, you're more than happy to shine, even though people are bowing down to you. Moon, you're happy to shine, even though people are bowing down to you. Bichvodi lo mechisem. Bichvod basar v'adam mechisem. So for my covet, God says, so that you're okay with. You're okay if my covet is impugned. You're okay if my honor takes a hit. But the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, suddenly again, you're threatening me. So Kiviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like insulted. Every single day, they worship the sun and the moon. And sun and the moon, you never make a threat. You never make a threat. We're not going to come out unless mankind stops worshiping us. So when my covet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is impugned and degraded, you say nothing. The covet of Basavadam, the covet of a human being is impugned and degraded. Suddenly you're threatening not to come out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept throwing spears and arrows at them until they finally came out. Now what is it? What's the pshat over here? What does this mean? So really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the moon and the stars is what? Same idea as I said before. You're inconsistent. You're inconsistent in your hashkafas. You're inconsistent in your hashkafas, right? You want to play the holy card, right? You want to go out and you want to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you allow Moshe Rabbeinu to be hung out to dry like that? You have to come to his defense. And in fact, we are not going to shine down upon the earth until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do something. You must do something. Such righteous indignation on the part of the sun and the moon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Achutzbah. Achutzbah. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Basar V'Dam, flesh and blood, for his covet, you threaten. My covet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is degraded day in and day out, and yet you've never said a peep, right? You've never made a peep. You've never said anything. Never did you threaten not to come out if mankind worships you as the deities. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the sun and the moon, you're being inconsistent. So what do we see over here? So again, if we bring this all together, our last segment was on the moon. The current segment is on the sun. So the major distinction we made between the moon and the sun is that the moon is inconsistent, the sun is consistent. Now it turns out that as we get to the end of the section of the Shemesh of the sun, we see that the sun indeed is also what? inconsistent. And the two luminaries teach us an incredible and profound lesson. Don't allow your inconsistencies from moving yourself forward. You see, a lot of times we think in life that the only way I'm going to do something is if I can be consistent. Right? If I can be consistent, then I'll do it. But if I'm not going to be consistent, then what is the point of trying? And then you hear this, I'm sure you hear this, or maybe some of you even do this yourselves. I hear this all the time. I only do things that I know I can do with consistency. If I can't do it with consistency, then there's no point in trying. So I'll tell you, if you're only going to do things for which you could be consistent in life, what are you going to end up doing? Nothing. Because in reality, there is nothing in life that you could promise consistency towards. Nothing. Nothing. You could have the best intentions. You could have the ratzon. You could have the will. You could have the most wonderful machshavas. At the end of the day, the one thing you cannot guarantee in life is consistency. Such is the nature of the human condition. But the sun and the moon teach us, just because you can't promise consistency, don't stop trying to shine. See, a lot of times in life, we don't do things, we don't take on things, we don't move ourselves forward, because why should I try if I can't be consistent? If you embrace the inconsistency of the human condition, and you recognize that the truth is, you're almost never going to be consistent with anything, because such is the nature of the human condition, all you could do is try your best. And don't allow yourself not to do things, try things, and attempt things, because you're not guaranteed a level of consistency. Model yourself after the sun and the moon. The moon is inconsistent on a daily level, right? The moon is inconsistent. We never know day to day what the moon is going to look like. It's going to be at the bottom of the horizon, top of the horizon. Where is it going to be? What is it going to look like? Changes, mamish, day to day. The sun is a bit more consistent, but even the sun is inconsistent. The sun is, in its essence, is inconsistent. Just off of this Gemara in the Darim, right? The sun is makbid on the kavod of Moshe Rabbeinu, but not the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sun sometimes burns brightly, sometimes it doesn't. During the summer, it looks warm, during the winter, it looks different. Sometimes it's burning in the clouds or obscuring it. But the goal in life is, even if you're inconsistent, which we all are, try your best to move yourself forward. Don't shy away from accomplishment in life because you're afraid that you can't sustain it. Don't go ahead and back away from potential life opportunities because you're afraid you're going to be inconsistent. We are all inconsistent. The sun is inconsistent. The moon is inconsistent. Moshe Rabbeinu is inconsistent. Sermon is inconsistent. And we are inconsistent as well. Not because we don't care, chas v'shalom, but because we're human beings. But don't allow your inconsistencies ultimately to be the excuse for non-action. This is the message of the Shemesh. Yes, I am inconsistent, but I still burn bright. That's the message for us as well. Yes, we are inconsistent to varying degrees. You know, Sari Yemenu was inconsistent once. Moshe Rabbeinu was inconsistent once. Most of us, I've been inconsistent once this hour, right? And I'll be inconsistent multiple times throughout the day. But the Musar is the same. The sun says, it's okay, I'm inconsistent too. The moon says, I'm even more inconsistent than you, right? Everybody's different, varying degrees of inconsistency. But the message is the same. No matter what the inconsistency is, try to go away, find a way to move yourself forward, to burn bright, and don't shy away from opportunities just because you're not guaranteed consistency. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue in the first chapter of our Shir Meretz Hashem next week.